Lindsay must have wrote that introduction. Holy cow. Man, it's good to be here. I'll tell you what, keep praying for your team in the Dominican. I've been in that church, and it's a gorgeous church. If you're a woodworker, they got stuff in there that just makes you drool. But I have learned over the years that when the enemy brings opposition like that against what you're trying to do for the kingdom, there's a reason, because he's nervous. Amen? So keep praying. Keep praying and just pray over them. Pray protection. Plead the blood over them. Amen? And that God would just have his way. And listen, we were there. They were having their first elections in the Dominican Republic. There are 27 political groups. Think of the chaos we have with two. Come on, somebody. They were like lighting fires across the road to keep us from going to where we were going. And thank God for speed the light vehicles that just went around through the ditch. Come on. And went on where we need to go. So I am honored to be here. I was telling somebody earlier, I retired in March after 35 years of pastoral ministry. And well, you'd say that now. I haven't preached in 3 months. So I have brought it all. No, I'm just kidding. I did not brought it all. But we intentionally took a break, and it's been good. And I appreciated my favorite son-in-law asking me to preach. It is an honor to be here. If you don't know us, my lovely wife, Sherry, down here, the Bible quiz queen. And, yeah. She had a small part as well, Don, about raising Kristen, and she was a good help. We got married at 18. If you have an 18-year-old here that wants to get married, you might want to cover their ears, but we've got a picture of us. Man, Carlos, that's what 150 pounds of lean, mean, fighting machine looks like right there. Man, got married at 18. And Sherry couldn't help it. I was using my smooth pickup lines. Teenage boys, take notes here. Here's ones you want to use. The first one I used on her, I said, "Hey, did it hurt when you fell from heaven because you are an angel?" And she said, "Did you just call me Lucifer?" Boys, don't use that one. So then I had to go to my backup line. I went to her church with her, and as we were walking in, I opened the door for her, and I said, "Hey, baby, I hear there's going to be a love offering tonight." There wasn't. There wasn't a love offering. Didn't happen. But she married me anyway. Hallelujah. And a week before I was 21, we had our son. There. Look at that guy, man. That is a guy who doesn't know how to hold a baby. That's the nursery at the Paris Island Naval Hospital, and they brought my son to me there, just shy of 8 pounds 8 ounces, and natural childbirth. It was hard on me, but Sherry was a champ, and they brought my son and said, "Here's your son," and I went like this, and that's what I'm doing. I'm like they're dropping an engine block, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what are you doing? But they dropped my son into my arms, and his name is Matt, and he is married, has a wife named Kristen. Yeah, we have two Kristens in the family, and they have two sons living in West Tennessee. Then I was, at age 24, a little girl was born. Aww, look at little Kristen. She was 9 pounds 9 ounces. We had an 8-8, a 9-9, and Sherry said, "There ain't gonna be no 10-10, just so you know." You did say that. That ain't a parable right there. And for you parents that, you know, you spend money to get your kids' pictures taken, you know what I'm talking about? You lay them out, you dress them up, and this is how they cooperate right here. Yeah. Boy, are they excited. Man, it didn't take long for Kristen's brown hair to turn platinum. She was a white-headed little baby most of elementary school. Here's my favorite picture of her. That's my baby girl right there. I wish she'd have stayed that way, but she didn't. But I love that little picture of her. She was is a daddy's girl and will always be a daddy's girl, I hope. Here she was at her wedding, giving me a kiss on the cheek. Where's my teenage girls at? Teenage girls, listen. Every day of high school, I took her to high school and dropped her off. She leaned over, gave me a kiss on the cheek, and said, "Have a great day, Daddy." It doesn't matter what she wants, she's going to get it. Come on, somebody. It's there. All right? So that's her. So now we've got 5 grandkids. Y'all know the girls. Our son has boys and our girl has girls. That's Nate in the back. He's 22. And his little brother Carter, who is 7. For just a little bit. He's getting ready to turn 8. Yeah. And then y'all know the 3 ding-dongs on the right there. And just incredible. So they started calling me Pap. I went from Dad to Pap. And I love Pap. I had a little girl, actually from this church. Her name is Everly. Y'all know Everly? Yeah. Everly came up to me a couple weeks ago at JBQ Nationals. And she said, "Is it okay if I call you Pap?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And she came and gave me the biggest hug. And I'm like, this is like the sweetest moment ever. And then she said, "Can I have some of that Pap money you're always giving out to the girls?" The girl's a hustler, man. Come on. Just like her mama. Hustling me for Pap money. Tell her to see me after church. I brought some for her, okay? I brought some for her. Yeah, I'm that easy. So Pap's in the house today. That means Pap rules are in the house, okay? Next week, y'all go back to Pastor Drew rules, whatever they are. But they don't apply to Paps, amen? And as long as Meemaw's not within earshot, Pap rules are a blast, okay? For instance, several years ago, I was preaching here, and I learned of a grave injustice that in the Stiefel home, I think it was a Lori rule, you couldn't open a new box of cereal until you finished the other one. And my man, Ben Stiefel, hardworking man, provides for his family. He wanted this other kind of cereal, but he had to eat like, it was something weird, like just regular flakes or bran flakes or something. It's like, ugh. He had to eat that because he hadn't finished the box. Well, Pap came to town. Come on, somebody. And so Pap's in town again today. Where you at, my brother? Because it's Fruity Pebble Day when Pap comes to town. There you go, man. Love you, brother. Yes, sir. Fruity Pebbles. How many of you know, Ben's more like my son's age, and so that means he's got kids that are like my grandkids' age. And so if Pap rules apply to Ben, Pap rules must apply to Braden. Come on, somebody. Right? So his dad got a regular size box. Braden, I got the big box of Frosted Flakes, baby. Come on down. Right here. It's a good thing you're an only child, right? Nobody else is going to get them in the family. Yeah. Some of y'all going, can we start communion with some Frosted Flakes? And because Pap's in town, that means my man Max can drink a Celsius down here on the front row with no shame. Right, brother? No shame. All right. All right. Everything changes when Pap's in town. Man, it's good to be in the house today. Good to be in the house today. I am so proud of this church because I remember it from day zero. And what God has done these last several years has been incredible. And we love coming here. Even if y'all didn't treat us the way you do, I would still love coming here. I just love being in the environment. I love the heart of worship in this place. Your pastor, that man can preach, amen. I love his heart and love for you. And we both think his wife is just amazing. And so we do have common ground. But I am proud of you. I'm proud of the ministries that is going on here at this church. We just finished the Bible Quiz Nationals. I'm telling y'all are 2, 3, maybe 4 years away from being a powerhouse in the nation in junior Bible quiz. I'm telling you, this, it's on track. Things are moving. Lori and her team are doing an amazing job, and you're putting the word in kids' hearts. Come on, somebody. There's not a bad day to that, right? Right. Proud of you. Proud of you. Hey, listen, happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here. Hey, real quick, can we just show some love for the sound and media techs working through the problems back there? Yeah, you're loved. You are loved and appreciated. Highly valued, I mean. Loved and highly valued. And man, for many years, because I always worked in electronics in my adult life, I was usually either sitting back there or near there, had installed the media system. And man, when there's a problem with the sound or the media, y'all need to remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Amen. Come on, somebody. Don't look back. All right. Being a dad is tough. People ask, would you want to go back and be 21 again? Nope. It was somewhat easier 40 years ago when I became a father. It's tough to be a dad today. Being a dad is not for sissies. Can you say sissies? Can we? Okay, sissies. You've got to be tough. You've got to be firm. You've got to be loving. And kids today are so stinking smart. Man. I heard about a dad that's 15-year-old son came to him and said, Dad, you know, I'm getting ready to turn 16. I need to get my driver's license. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, son. He said three things. He said, number one, I want you to get all A's and B's on your report card. He said, second thing, I want you to keep your room clean. It's a mess in there. And he said, third thing, he said, you got this mop on your head. He said, I want you to get a haircut. So a little bit of time went by, and the son came in, and he said, Dad, it's time. I'm getting ready to turn 16. I want to get my driver's license. He said, well, son, there's some things you got to do here. He said, let's see that report card. Dad looked at that report card, all A's and B's. He said, well, that's good. He said, I checked with your mother. She said, you've been keeping your room clean. He said, I'm really proud of you. He said, but I can tell by looking at you, you didn't have a haircut. And he said, well, Dad, you know, Jesus had long hair. And the dad said, yeah, and Jesus walked everywhere he went. So, you guys think you're smart, see? Us old guys, we know. Being a father is one of the greatest joys that I have. The memories I have with my children are incredible. The special moments with my son, I remember the first fish he caught. Remember the first deer he killed. Kristen came along and She turned out to be a daddy's girl, and I'm going to tell you, that's just okay with me. And she tells me she'll be a daddy's girl as long as she lives. You may wonder, what's it like? What was Kristen like as a kid? Well, God gave you Julia to see. So if you see Julia, you're seeing Kristen. It's just like reliving all of this. Amen. So often on Mother's Day, we honor moms and we basically promote them to sainthood. We polish their halos and we talk about them being the Proverbs 31 virtuous women that they are and how they never do wrong and are amazing people. Then they turn around on Father's Day and beat up the dads for being sorry dogs. Can I tell you? Pap rules today. That's not going to happen. Amen. We're not beating up dads on my watch. So today we're going to honor dads and we're going to build dads up. Because usually unknown to the rest of the family is that dad is carrying a weight on his shoulders that feels like a ton. He's not only wrestling with a burden from the past, maybe from his childhood, maybe from his failures of yesterday. He's also carrying the burden of the present and the pressures that are on the family, and he feels the responsibility for them. But he's also carrying a weight of the future and knowing what is going to happen to my kids in the future. Because I promise you this, Dad, you blink and that little blonde-haired girl you're holding is suddenly a pastor's wife. Amen. It happens just that quick. So I'm thankful today that the culture is starting to shift a little bit to allow men to share more. Can I tell you, back in the day when I was a teenager, dads did not say things like, "I love you." Dads did not say things like, "I'm sorry," or "I believe in you." Those things were not for real men to say. Well, I came along, want you to know, man, I have told my kids, including my son, I love them thousands upon thousands of times. And I've told them sorry when I messed up, and my kids know I believe in them and are proud of them. Listen, you don't have to tell Drew and Kristen that I came here today and said, "Man, boy, Pap was really praising you and saying how proud he was." They know because I tell them. Because I tell them. I don't want them to experience the same things I did. So I put together three little tools, little nuggets today. Dads, you can learn these and kind of get them in your heart. And so I want to talk about dads. I want to talk about dents, not in the car, and some destiny today. Amen? All right, number one. Your dad heart is the connection to your family. It is so important. It was the last thing God spoke in the Old Testament. Got your Bibles today, got your phones, whatever you got. Turn to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, last book of the Old Testament. Last chapter of the Old Testament and the last verses of the Old Testament. The last thing God spoke before 400 years of silence is Malachi 4 verse 5. God said, "Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah." He was talking about a type of Elijah. The person he was really sending was John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's saying, "I'm sending somebody who's going to show you this." They're a type of Elijah. They're going to talk about what the future is going to look like. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, all right? That's what he's saying. I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. May the Lord bless the reading of his amazing word today. God shows us that the future of your family is tied to the hearts of the Father. And it's so important that the heart of the Father be connected to the kids. And then he says, and vice versa. When that happens, then the hearts of the kids can be turned toward the Father. That connection is crucial, men. You need to hear me today. It is so important that your heart stays connected to your children. And it's that important that you must guard against anything that tries to mess up that connection. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about all kinds of things that the enemy plans to steal, kill, and destroy the relationship between a father and his children. Well, Pastor Todd, you don't know my situation. You don't know the deadbeat dad I had. You don't know the dad that did this or did that. Listen to me today. I'm talking about the dads today need to guard their hearts so they can maintain connection to their children. If today was beat up dad's day and we were trying to find out who was the absolute worst at making mistakes and having faults as a dad, y'all would be vying for second place. You hear me? You would be running for second place because I'd get the first place award. Man, there's so many things I feel like I messed up as a dad. I beat myself up as a dad. And yet on your church Facebook page, they were talking about name three characteristics about your dad. And Kristen put like patient and loving and kind or something. And I'm like, I just believe God has wiped her memory. Come on, somebody. I made so many mistakes. But I never lost my connection to my kids. Y'all hear me? Doesn't matter how much you mess up. Doesn't matter how many times you blow it. When you blow it, you come back and go, I'm sorry, I blew it. I'm going to try to do better next time. And you restore that connection to your kids. No matter how vulnerable you're going to feel, Dad, or how loud you hear somebody telling you, real men don't talk about those things. I came by today to tell somebody, you better talk about those things and not let anything sever the connection between you and your kids. It is so important. The last thing God spoke in the Old Testament. Secondly, today I want you to know this. It's okay if you have dents in your armor. It simply means you're using it. Got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. It's okay to have dents in your armor. First Thessalonians 5, verse 8 says, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Hear me, man, I'm going to set you free. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect, dads. It's not there. You know exactly how many perfect dads there are in the world? I counted. Zero. There are no perfect dads. We all mess up. We all fall short. Amen? We all make mistakes. So get it out of your head that you have to be perfect. But listen, don't forget that God has given you some tools to use to help you be the best dad you can be. I'm a tool guy. I have a 24 by 32 detached shop. We bought it. It happened to come with a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. Okay? Am I lying? Thank you. All right. I got all kind of tools, woodworking tools, to the precious saint who wanted me to bring you that Coca-Cola bench I just restored. Sorry, ma'am. The people that own that would not give that up, all right? Hang on. One of my favorite tools to use is my chisels. I used them on that project that I just showed in the video. I love using tools. I especially love using my chisels. But how many of you know, the more you use your chisels, the more you have to sharpen them, right? That's not the fault of the chisel. It's certainly not the fault of the master woodworker. Come on. It's just the way it is. As you use it, it's going to wear. It's going to dull. You have to purposely keep it sharp. And so I try every time before I hang my chisels back up is to go over and sharpen them right then so that when I reach for them, they are sharp enough to do the job. One of the tools that God gave you dads is some armor of faith and love. Dad, you may not get it right all the time, but keep trying. You keep believing in your faith. Say, oh, Pastor Todd, there's so many times in my faith walk that I blew it. Guess what? It just leaves a dent in your armor. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Get up. Ask for forgiveness. Keep going. Keep going. I have blown it in my faith so many times. I have acted at times where I was not acting in love. Come on, somebody. And it left dents in my armor. I came by today to tell you, you don't have to be perfect. It's okay to have dents in your armor. It just means you're using it. It just means you're using it, Dad. Don't worry about everything looking perfect. You guardian angel people, some of you have these little baby, fat baby cherubs that are like you think are your guardian angel. I got news for you. You get to heaven, you're going to see a dude about 8 feet tall. And he's going to be kind of limping a little bit as he goes down the streets of heaven. He's going to be dragging his sword behind. The sword's going to have all kind of nicks and bad places in it. His armor is going to be beat up. The dude is going to be going, you're like, man, what happened to you? And he's going to say, I was Todd's guardian angel. I guarantee you he's got some dents in him. I guarantee you he's been through some battles on behalf of me. Amen. Don't think you have to be perfect. You don't have to look perfect. It's okay if you have dents in your armor of faith and love. It just means you're using it. Keep using it. It will protect you. Lastly today, number three, your worship can change the destiny of your family for generations. That's a heavy statement. Your worship can change the destiny of your family for generations. When the enemy tries to tell you that your family has a generational curse, you need to remind him of the but. What are you talking about? How many people have heard somebody talk about generational curses before? Look around the room. It's like everybody, right? Generational curses. Oh, they got a generational curse on them. You got a generational curse because you get mad just like your dad did. You got a generational curse. Your grandfather died of a heart attack. Your father died of heart problems. And all of his brothers, very few of them live past 70. You've got a generational curse on you. And we hear people talk about and use that all the time. So many times people read scripture, they read part of the scripture and don't read the rest. Right? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. You heard that verse before? How many people can quote John 3:17? Whoo, two of us in here, right? Two of us, maybe three. Because God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but to save them. That's the message. We don't beat people up with John 3:16. We share it with them. But man, we want them to know why God sent Jesus. Not to condemn them, but to save them. That's the message. Well, this is one of those cases. We get generational curses from Exodus 20. You got your Bible? Turn there. Exodus 20, verse 4. This is the top 10 list that God gave, amen, of how we should act. Exodus 20, verse 4. You must not make for yourself an idol or any kind of image or anything in the heavens or in the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate your affection for other little g gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations. And people stop there. And say, well, that's that generational curse. It's going to affect your family three or four generations. Keep reading. To the third and fourth generations of what? Those who reject me. The next word is a big one. Somebody tell your neighbor, there's a big but coming. What's the next word? But. What is it in the NIV? But, what is it in the New King James? But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Here we go, crawling around and worrying and weeping and gnashing our teeth because somebody said, we've got a generational curse on you and you're acting just like your father. You're acting just like your mother, whatever it may be. I came by today to tell somebody we got to act like Joshua did and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And when you begin to serve God and when you begin to follow him, let me tell you, everything changes. You are now no longer under a generational curse. The Word of God says, but I've got blessings on you for 1,000 generations for your family. Hallelujah. Woo. Give me no generational curse stuff. Somebody comes at you with that. Put your armor of love up. And tell them it's been good talking to you. Right? You missed a big but in the Bible. And if they won't receive it, just walk on. Amen? Walk on. I'm not going to let anybody speak generational curses over me or my family. It's not anger issues. It's not alcoholism. It's not health issues with our heart. It's not any of the stuff that people try to park at my door. Get that out of here. Yeah, God does that to people who reject him. Watch how big their eyes get when you say that. Oh, you mean you've read the Bible? Yeah, I have. Yeah. Yeah, I sat under a teacher who explained it to me. Boy, it's right there. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations. Don, do we sing any songs about 1,000 generations? Yes, we do, don't we? 1,000 generations falling down in worship. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. It's not the alcoholism. It's not the health issues. It's not any of the junk that may have plagued my family in the past. I've got 1,000 generations ahead that God is lavishing his love upon. Amen. And we're going to walk in that blessing and that favor. We're going to walk in the goodness of God. Amen. I love those songs. So many times we hear, well, I learned it from my father, who learned it from his father. My grandfather Alexander died at 34 years old, leaving 13 kids behind. My dad was the baby. He was 3 years old when his dad died in 1929 at the onset of the Great Depression. Yeah, we don't know what tough is, do we? Heart issues, fell over, heart attack, dead. My dad died at 69, was about to turn 70. He already had 2 open heart surgeries and he needed a third, and they couldn't do it because his lungs were so bad. That was sad, and I hate that. That's part of my history. But how many of you know that's not me? That's not me. That's not who I am. I'm passing down blessings and favor because somewhere along the way, in March of 1984, I fell on my face and said, I'm tired of this. When you live in South Carolina, wake up drunk in California, you got a problem. Come on, somebody. Hey, I ain't going to half-step nothing. I'm going to go full on. When I do something stupid, I'm all in. My people, I see y'all shaking your head like. And that alcohol may have been a problem for those generations before me. But there came a day when I decided to follow Jesus. And when I decided to follow Jesus, generational stuff come off of me. Come off of me. My son doesn't have to worry about alcoholism. My grandkids don't have to worry about alcoholism. Anger issues have got to go. Oh, we all get hot from time to time, but I'm talking about serious anger stuff has got to come off. Amen. It's got to come off. Depression. Ooh, how many? Every time somebody has a fight or a struggle with depression, and some well-meaning counselor or pastor begins to say, well, you know, that's just a generational thing in your family. I know the Bible says lay hands on no one suddenly, but I'm going to tell you. Get that garbage talk away from me. Amen. Do not speak that over my life. That's not who I am. There may have been depression in your family. That's not who you are. It may have been in your family for generations. But! And that's a big but. But God. I'm going to tell you something, dads. I hope you hear me today. I hope you feel like you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof today as a dad. I hope you've been uplifted and encouraged. But I want you to know more than anything today that the things of your past, the mistakes and failures of yesterday, the problems and struggles of generations before you do not apply to you. That the moment the scripture says those who love me and obey my commands. The moment you turned your life to God and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the moment. We can mark the day when that stuff came off of you and you need to quit toting it around. Come on, somebody. You need to quit carrying it around. It is not who you are. That ought to make some dads fired up today who maybe have said, you know, I've had a horrible past. I've struggled with a lot of different things. I've had bad attitudes. I've had depression. I've had anger issues. I felt like a failure. I've been told that I was never going to amount to anything. You need to stand up and shout today, because that's not applying to your kids the moment you came to Jesus Christ. It's off me. It's off me. And you change the destiny of your family. I don't have to worry about drunkards and hotheads because of what I did in March of 1984. Now, God not only saved me, changed me, filled me with the Holy Spirit, called me to preach, I got a granddaughter who says she wants to be a pastor. Yeah, it's the one that looks like her mama. But I've heard her mama preach. She can shuck a little corn right there. That doesn't happen. I don't deserve that. I've not been good enough. I don't deserve to have that kind of future generations in my family without a great big but. But God made me a promise in Exodus 20. And I've received it and been walking in that blessing. And y'all look out for the next 1,000 generations, Alexanders and Moreheads. Y'all watch out. 1,000 generations. More than you can even comprehend. I'm standing here like trying to picture that. And I'm like Abraham when God told him, your generations or your descendants are going to number like the sand on the shore. You can't even imagine that. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I want to do this today. I gave the worship team. Y'all got an amazing worship team. I love them. Amen. But I gave them the second half of the service off. Same pay, don't worry. Because up on this stage are moms and dads. I didn't want the dads to have to work. I'd rather have a dad in the altar than I would on an instrument or singing. And so today I want to ask this. I want all the dads, would you just come forward, please?